Log Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Happy Sunday morning. It's here. It's rainy outside, and that's a beautiful rain coming from the Lord. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the Jeremiah Speaks Ministry, and I am Gernard Reed, your host today. We are certainly glad to be here in partnership with the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer. We have a word from the Lord on today. As I always do, we're going to give the scripture now, and then we're going to ask that you get pen and paper so that you can check up on what I'm bringing today, that you can follow up or check up and even follow along in the scripture as we go. And the scripture for today, actually three of them, Numbers chapter 22, verses 10 through 12, Numbers 22, verses 10 through 12, Psalm 105, 15, Psalm 105, in verse 15, then 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8. And our contact information is email go teach and baptize, GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE. Go teach and baptize at gmail.com. And the phone numbers that can reach us, we prefer that you text first, but certainly we can answer a call as well. But 804-313-7853. Those are the ways you can reach the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Any of our ministers can be reached through those means. And we do want to advise that we were blessed to start a weeknight ministry. On last Monday, we began and launched, and we think it's going pretty well. We certainly had a good time. It's Monday through Friday nights, each night of the week, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. So at 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And the same contact information, and we're already letting you know for Friday night, we will take your Bible questions. Your Bible questions, specifically out of the Bible. If you send them now, then we will respond to them. I hope we will respond to them on Friday evening. Now, back to the message today, coming from Numbers, the 22nd chapter, verses 10 through 12, and Psalm 105, 15, 2 Corinthians 13:8. You cannot curse blessed people. Numbers 22 reads, and Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, had sent to me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. flip to Psalm 105, verse 15, this one popular verse, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:8, well, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We have here a compilation of three scriptural witnesses clearly proclaiming that anyone blessed with the power to bless and to curse will not curse the people of God. The thread begins with a strange prophet in the wilderness called Balaam and visits David's revisitation of the pilgrimage of the Jews from Egypt to Canaan, and from Canaan to Egypt and then back to Canaan, and reappearing in the New Testament church where the Apostle Paul concludes in his final letter to Corinth with the staunch reminder that Christians cannot curse Christians. Come on and say it with me. Christians, true Christians. Christians cannot curse Christians. It's not so much the sin, but the implausibility of it all. It's not even possible that the people of God could curse the people of God. So then that takes us up close through our television. We're able to observe the confounding Russian-Ukraine war. Hostilities have existed since 2014 with Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine this year. In 2022, casualties and injured are high for both nations, with the numbers running slightly higher for Russia. From north to south, the geography of Ukraine is destroyed, and millions of Ukrainians have been displaced from their homes. Oil and food prices globally have been adversely affected worldwide due to the massive loss of Russian oil and Ukrainian produce. But from my spiritual perch, there is a far greater and further reaching malady. These are two Christian nations fighting a bloody and costly war. Russia identifies as 66% Christian. Ukraine identifies as 65% Christian. As compared to the United States, which only comes in at 49% Christian, Christians who fight and curse Christians can expect no help from God in their quest and to destroy his own people. Think about that, if you will, that you got Christians on one side, Christians on the other side, and Christians are asking God to step in this and help them kill other Christians. It's such an ugly war. So sad that this would have come about. This is the plight in Russia and Ukraine. So who is winning the war? There will be no spiritual winner. There will be no spiritual winner. Somebody might get the land. Somebody might get the nuclear factory. Somebody might get the vegetables. Somebody might get more control of the oil. But in the end, at the end of the day, you can't fight God's people and expect any kind of victory. So it was for the nation of Israel. As they were preparing to receive Joshua as their new leader, leave the wilderness, and take the promised land, even the Israelites did not understand their numbers and the hedge placed around them by their God. Oh, but their enemies around them, they knew. Now, what I mean when I say that they did not understand the hedge, remember in Job, in the first chapter, Satan goes to the Lord and says that, you know, I can't hurt Job because you placed a hedge around him, meaning that Job and God were so tight that the devil accused God of putting a band of angels, if you will, all around Job so nobody could touch him or his family. I looked at that scripture and I said, I'd like to have one of them around me, that wherever I go, folk can't get to me. I don't have to sin. I'm protected from what folk can do to me because I got a hedge about me. That sounds pretty good. So then we go to Numbers, back to that scripture, endeavoring to curse God's people. We read the scripture from Balaam, and Balaam, so we go and we find that this first witness is the Moabite king Balak had heard of how the wilderness people had come out of Egypt, the Israelites, how they had utterly destroyed the Amorites. I mean, they just went right through the Amorites. They had their own God and their own customs. This God had promised them the land of Moab, beginning with Jericho. Nearly 2 million of these Israelites were camped out in the plain and visible from Jericho. Although Jericho had a great wall around it, it would be no match for the people, because the people were blessed. Let the church say amen. I don't fault the Moabite king here. Is that he's been sitting up in Jericho, sinning and living outside of the will of God all these years. And now he sees that God has raised up a nation, been promised this land, and is going to take it from him. I'd be upset too. So Balak determined that two things were necessary to defeat the Israelites. Number one, the Canaanite kings would need to unite in battle against the Israelites. In other words, all the enemies of Israel decided that now that we're enemies of Israel, we need to get together and fight them. That was number one. And number two, the Israelites would need to be cursed. But it wasn't that simple. Moabite diviners had been trying to curse them, but their god Baal was unable to curse the Israelites. They needed some help from the inside. The Church of the Living God, founded upon the rock at Caesarea Philippi and birthed at Jerusalem at Pentecost, is a blessed church. Somebody say it with me. It's a blessed church. Anyone who joins this blessed church is blessed. However, there are millions on the outside who would love to see the blessed church fail, but they know and can see the power of a united church. So they therefore look for the opportunity to divide the church of the living God. Somebody ought to say amen. Seeds of discord are sown into the church in the form of racial and denominational divide, modern and traditional divide, and even contemporary and quartet music divide. The haters wish nothing more than total destruction of the church. The world will offer prizes to church folk to curse their own church. Don't say amen there. Balak approaches Balaam, the prophet of God. Balak, in chapter 22, verse 5, Balak sends messages to Balaam. And he says, there's a people out there out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over and against me. I know that whoever you curse, Balaam, I know that whoever you curse is cursed, because you are blessed, and whoever you bless is blessed. Now, Balak knew that Balaam was an Israelite. Balak knew that. Balaam seemed to have, even though he was a prophet of God, been called by God, he seemed to have forgotten his purpose and who his people were. He seemed to think that just because these people are nice to me and call me and befriend me and offer me gifts, that I should listen to what they have to say. But so Balaam goes to God, and Balaam says to God, I got this message from Balak. And Balak says that he wants me to go with him and curse some people. And God says, these are my people. You can't curse my people. Balaam says, oh, okay. So he went back and told him, I can't curse. God said, I can't do it. Can't do it. And so they went away, and he came back, and they said to him again, you know, we will give you the gifts of a diviner. That's automatic. But then we will also give you some nice, tangible gifts, some things that you can really use in your everyday life, things that you would like, and gold and silver. And also, in addition to that, we will elevate you as a prophet. So hear what I say, that I live in a day and a time where too many people want to be elevated. I wish I had a witness here that folk want to be elevated within the house, but doing things that are not representative of the house. Let's move on. But he says, we will elevate you, sir. Balaam goes back to God because he knew where his power came from. Went back to God, and he said, they came back to me again, and they want me to go and curse these people. He still didn't understand that you're saying to God, I want to curse your people. And so God says, well, I'll tell you what. You just do whatever they tell you. When they come back, go along with them. Do what they say. So Balaam, the princes, and the messengers came again with a real nice offer. Balaam says, okay, I can go with you. And let me remind you before we get started. When I get to the king, I need the king to know that whatever God tells me to curse, that's what I'm going to curse. And whatever God tells me to bless, that's what I have to bless. I can't work outside of the power of the living God. And so they get ready, and he gets with the princes. God has given him permission. This is what we call tacit permission. This is when somebody worries you and worries you and worries you. Finally, you say, okay, whatever you, just go ahead and do it. That's not really our intention for them to go ahead and do it, but we oftentimes get so sick of hearing them begging that we say, just do what you want to do. Go ahead. Yeah, fine. That's go. So that's what I said to him. All the while, God is 15 steps, 15 miles, 15 years ahead of him. God has already figured out, how am I going to use this energy from Balaam to bless my people when Balak has hired him? Now imagine that the enemy has hired this prophet to curse his own people. And the prophet going along with it, seeds of discord is likewise sown into our churches today, where people think they are blessing the people of God by cursing certain of the church. I wish I had a witness here. Let me go a little deeper here, that there's some folk in our church that don't act right, look right, or walk right, but they belong to God. They say they belong to God. There's some folk in our church that are not saved. There are folk in, a lot of folk in churches that don't know the living and true God. Some are trying to get to know him, and some just flat out don't care one way or the other. They're in church for some other reason. They want to hang out with certain people, but they're not saved. That's not who I'm talking about. But I'm talking about some folk there. We got some elect. We got some leaders, some called of God that have some strange ways, just have quirky ways and say some strange stuff. Oftentimes, the strangeness actually is encouraged or came from the Lord, but that's a different story for another day. But somebody don't like them. We live in a country, a society, a nation now where we do things based on what we do and don't like. And so here we find in churches oftentimes that somebody just get on my nerves. Somebody just, I hate to even look over in that direction. I can't even sit on that side of the church because he's there. And now we learned a little bit about prayer. I just learned a little bit about prayer, that God says to the church that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, meaning blessings, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, cursing. Then the pastor said that power is offered to the church, and we have that. So let's see, can't we curse this one over here because they don't act right? But well, look, I got to hear to myself. So Balaam is going off to curse God's people, and he's going to get a little elevation for this. So then God okays it. Balaam gets on his donkey, saddles the donkey, has two servants with him, ready to go meet up with the men and go curse God's people. God saw this disgusting scene and sent an angel to get in the way. How many know that angels are all around us and we don't necessarily see them? Ain't there are countless Old Testament stories and even New Testament stories that show us that God had an angel there all the time looking out for us. It wasn't our might and our strength and our words that did it. It's that somebody else could see an angel that we couldn't see. Somebody had been cut off and we didn't realize that. And so God is looking at this. He sent an angel to take care of this matter. So Balaam saddled his donkey. God, looking at this disgusting scene, sent the angel. Do you believe that angels are sent to help us and not to hinder us? But angels are also sent to hinder us when we're set out to do something that's against God's will? That God is saying, I poured so much into this person. I put so much into this. I've invested so much. He's on the right road. She's headed in the right direction. Whoops. She's getting ready to do something that's not of God. She's getting ready to do something that's crazy. And God will send an angel to pull us out or to block us from that situation. Here's Balaam riding proudly with two servants. His donkey saw the angel with a sword and turned to the field out of the way. Balaam beat the donkey to turn him back in the way. Angel corners the donkey again a little later between two walls. Donkey saw the angel turn toward the wall and swung against the wall, and it hurt Balaam's foot. Balaam again, he took his staff and beat the donkey. So then the donkey saw the angel. Once again, he went ahead to a narrow place where there was no way out. The donkey could neither turn to the right nor to the left, and this time the donkey fell right down on his knees and would go no further. Balaam again beat the donkey. Balaam's frustrated now. He's all upset, really frustrated. I can't even get my donkey to act right. I got everything else in order. I got somewhere to go, somewhere to be. And this donkey has fallen down on his knees. And then Balaam beat the donkey, and that's when God opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey spoke. The donkey said to Balaam, "What have I done to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam said, "You mocked me, and if I had my sword, I would surely kill you." Wait a minute. Did a donkey just talk to a man? That's what the word says. The word says that God opened a donkey's lips, that a donkey talked to Balaam. But here's the most interesting part, is Balaam answered the donkey. And is now here in the field, donkey down on his knees, Balaam mad, frustrated, beating on the donkey, stops and has a conversation with a donkey. Oh, he out there now. He says to the donkey, "You hurt my feelings. You mocked me. I'm not going to put up with that out of a lowly donkey." Hold that thought. The donkey says, "I'm your donkey. Haven't I always carried you wherever you needed to go? Haven't I? Did I ever let you down?" Balaam looks at the donkey and says, "Well, no." And then God opened the donkey's eyes. God opened Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the angel with his sword drawn. But watch this. Just as Balaam was angered because the donkey had mocked him, that's what God was, angered because his prophet had mocked him. He allowed Balaam to see, "This is what you said and done to me. I want you to see it for yourself." So then that's what Balaam was doing. He was mocking God by going against the promises of God, going against the logic and the command of God. The late Pastor James Fry said, we need to take a look at this situation, and we need to look at the characters in this situation. And he said the first character is God's angel, as God's angel doing what he's supposed to do. Then the second character is God's dumb animal. God's dumb animal, the donkey, is doing what he's supposed to do. And then there's God's man, you know, the one with the free will, the one that's made in the image of God, the one that's blessed in this story with a power of prophecy, a gift of prophecy. God's man, what's he doing? Messing up. Doesn't understand the plan of God, and therefore trying his best to go against the plan of God. But God then instructs Balaam, now that he has his attention, you go and do as I've instructed you. King Balak took Balaam to three high points overlooking the children of Israel down in the plain. He said, now go over there and curse them. Balaam presented parables, and he went over there, and each time God said, I'll put the words in your mouth. You know, sometimes when we pray, we want to pray and want to do it right, we let go and let God put the words in our mouth as we pray back to him. So God put the words in his mouth, and Balaam began to bless the Israelites. Balak said, well, King Balaam said, it didn't work over here. Let's go to another high point. He didn't get the gist of this yet. And so they go to another high point, a second point. He said, this time I need you to go and curse the people, not bless the people. Balaam says, I'm going to go and give me what the Lord has. And he goes and he blesses the people once again. And then this happened a third time, and finally he got fired. Balak said, get out of here. I hired you to curse the people, and you've come here and done nothing but bless the people. So how can I? Verse 23:8, Balaam says to Balak, how can I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I defy whom God has not defied? Oh, that's a good word for the church. The church cannot curse what God has blessed. The church cannot curse what God has blessed. It's blessed by God. God is not going to allow us to curse our own people. The church is blessed. The world cannot stop the church. Only hope that the world has is to divide the church. The world, or Satan, the prince of this world, wants some in the church to curse their own church. He'll come with trickery. He'll come with promises of great things and silver and gold. If you will only do A, B, and C on behalf of the church, which is really a guise of cursing the church. And then I go to, running out of time here, I go to Psalm 105 and verse 15, this one simple verse that's often misquoted in our church. that saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. David is recounting the wonderful, illustrious journey of the Israelites from Canaan to Egypt and back to Canaan. And then he says, all the way that God had put a hedge about them, and God had sent a message ahead that the people in the other lands knew, even in Egypt. Because when they were in Egypt, they lived in the best part of Egypt. They lived in the most fertile part of the land. And that's when it says there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. He couldn't understand why we got these strange people living up there in the best part of the land. It's because God has set it up like that. So as they sojourned from Canaan to Egypt and back to Canaan, God had sent a message ahead, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's not something for the pastor to tell his own members. That's not something for the leader of the church to tell church members. God didn't say, I'm going to strike down church members. We're going to build them up. He said to the other nations, you don't touch my anointed. Who is the anointed today? It's the real, true church of the living and true God. Anybody that has the spirit of Jesus living inside of them, we call him the Holy Spirit. Some say the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit with power to bring those things that we studied and learned back to our remembrance, those things, the comforter, the keeper, the guide, the Holy Spirit of God. Anybody that has the Holy Spirit of God, others can take the same Holy Spirit and curse somebody that has the Holy Spirit, but a sign to go out to the folk around us, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. I got to move on to verse 8 of chapter 13 in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, says this piece here. It's a good piece to go by, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And see, Paul and the gospel writer John have built the case that Jesus ain't nothing but the truth, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know Jesus, and he will make you free. And Paul goes right along with that in his doctrinal writings, and Paul points out that Jesus is the truth. If you want to know what's right, if you want to know who's right, if you want to know the truth, Jesus. Jesus ain't nothing but the truth. So if Jesus is the truth, and then the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit that guided Jesus when he walked the earth, is now available to true Christians. And anybody that accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are expected to take on the Holy Spirit of God as their spirit. And so the Holy Spirit that we have is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus operated in. And the power that Jesus had is the same power that we have. And if I got the power to bless and the curse, then I realize that it comes from the Holy Spirit. And if I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me, then I better not think about blessing or cursing someone else that has the Holy Spirit in them. How, Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself will fall. Jesus is not going to divide against himself for me to fight with my Jesus as against you with your Jesus. We can do nothing against the truth, but I got 1 minute left. I got 1 minute left. Don't try to curse the people of God, because God is not going to curse his own people. He wouldn't do it for Balaam. He wouldn't do it for those foreign nations. He wouldn't do it when they were fighting in the Israelite camp. He won't do it today. Well, let's talk about blessing for a minute. We have the power within us with the same Holy Spirit to bless somebody else. And why don't we as a church bless our way out of this thing? Why don't we as a church bless our way through this thing? Somebody in our church won't act right, pray for them. Somebody in our church won't do right, bless them. Ask God to pronounce a blessing on them this day and this hour, because we believe that what we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God has given his church the authority to bless his own people. So let's bless our own people. And when that joker is out of line, he said, go to him, but bless him just the same. Bless them to come and have their eyes open like Balaam's eyes were open, that they might see what the will of God really is in their life. Oh, I wish I could go a little bit. No, I don't. I'm all done here today. I'm all wrapped up. We are not going to curse God's people. We cannot curse whom God has blessed. Let's operate with God and operate in blessing. This is the word of God from the people of God. As even so saith the Spirit, go teach and baptize. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and ministry. Once again, we're Go Teach and Baptize at gmail.com, 804-313-7853. We're coming right back to you this week, Monday through Fridays at 7 p.m. Tomorrow we have a very special guest with a powerful testimony that when she comes along, her testimony precedes her. You can see the testimony coming before she even opens her mouth. So we pray that you will join us tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, same call-in information. May God bless and keep you. May heaven smile upon you.
When I needed you, Jesus, all I had to do was call.
God bless you again. You're listening to Shirley Caesar Jesus. Good morning to you. This is the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer, and we welcome you to our program. We thank you so much for listening to us each week on this radio dial, as well as through the week. We will be on the air Monday through Fridays. We ask that you join in with us and that you sit back and abase yourselves and as we fellowship together. I want to say to the listeners, we thank you for supporting us. We have seen that we have saw the maps and also the airtime that many of you are not only calling in, but you're online and that you're listening to the broadcast through internet. We thank you again and again and all over the world. We want to thank our fellowship churches as well as those that's in China. We want to thank Pakistan, Jamaica, Africa, and all of those nations who tune in with us on the weekend. Please listen to us through the week. Again, this is the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. And we want to encourage you at this time just to sit back and relax and to know that God can do anything but fail. You know, I was listening to some spirituals yesterday, and sometimes it's good to reflect back on songs that you have heard in your lifetime that have inspired you and encourage you in the things of God. We thank God for our moderator, Reverend Reed. We thank him so much how he has joined with us, not only to spearhead the subject matter of our teachings, but also to guide us in all spiritual truth, especially through the week, that good Bible school teaching, that solid foundation. You know, when you find a leader and a man of God that's flat-footed in the things of God, you want to just tug at the hem of his garment because truly God has given him the wisdom of knowledge of teaching and preaching that gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us at this time, as I say, I just want to just refresh on some of the songs that meant a lot to me as I was growing up and also when I was going to church, and I would just hear so much beautiful, beautiful music, as this one is Kirk Franklin, Now Behold the Lamb. I ask at this time if you would get your Bibles as we get ready. We're going to look at Numbers 22. Our subject matter today will be coming from Numbers 22. We will look at that particular scripture of Balaam. God bless you. Let us listen to Kirk Franklin now. Behold the Lamb. God bless you. Songwriter says, now behold the Lamb. Isn't it so beautiful how the songwriter has been blessed to put that into words, behold the Lamb. You know, we love the Lord that through his death, burial, and resurrection, that we can behold the glory of our God, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, through his creation, through everything that he has made, heavens above and heavens below, that we are blessed. We thank God for the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross, that we can have a chance to eternal life. And we just want to invite you at this time, as I said before, as we go into the inner courts, that we are here to exalt, edify, and motivate the things of God and to send encouragement. You know, so many times that we have suffered through things that because of our mistakes or things that we have done or maybe that we wasn't aware of that has caused us the pain that we had to reach out to God and that we are godly sorrow. You know, I thank God that through the week, he had given me a message, and I just want to share with you all that sometimes you will ask God, why is this happening in the earth? Why is this happening to me? What is the problem? Well, my God put in my heart to tell you that you can answer your own problem. You can answer what is the questions that you have for God, why there is so much sin and killing and murders out here in this earth, because people's heart has gone cold, that they are waxed in their spirit, that evil have taken over the land, that when we can pray and confess by our mouth that we are godly, sorrow for our sins, and that we turn from our wicked ways, God can bless our land. But when you have those, as we see in our story today, that are in leadership, or those who have the power to make a difference, whose heart has become waxed and cold, that you're going to find the sin, you're going to find the crime, you're going to find the hatred that's in the land, God forbid. Many a times, you know, even little children and things, we hear about things that's happening to kids, but then we say, well, where is God when this is happening? But where is the parents who are responsible to take care of those children and be mindful that they need the direction, guidings of the parents? We hear war and rumors of wars, and we see that men are fighting against each other because of greed and want position. And we say, where is God? But where are the people that's supposed to follow his commandment? Did not God give not only the commandments in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden? Did not God tell Moses to write down the laws? Did not God allow even the men of God to be inspired to write the Bible? So where is the obedience to the word of God? You know, many a times we blame God for our problems, even with this COVID. This is all over the land. But, you know, God did this. No, he did not. Did not God say we're not supposed to eat animals that is of a rodent, a bat, a dog, a cat, anything that will cause us to become ill? Did not he put his law in the Bible, which even today that diseases are spreading because of people are being disobedient and doing the things that they're not supposed to do? Our God is there. Our God is sitting high and looking low. We have Jesus who make an intercession for us, because there are wickedness in the land because of disobedience, that people who are up in high places are not listening and running nations of countries, of people, of communities, of cities, as God has directed them to. Uh-oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're looking at Numbers today, thanks to Reverend Reed, that he has dropped this tablet on our plate for us to examine the word of God. So we're going to look at Balaam. We're going to see what has happened in Numbers, which would tie in with what I just said, that caused people to fall and turn and become wicked. Uh-oh, I'm still ahead of myself. But I want to slow down. I just want to say to you that you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast as we play music, as we just reverence God. This is our disclaimer, that when we play music of other artists, that they own the right to their music. We are promoting their records so that you can buy those CDs, and this is for promotional reasons only, because truly God has blessed the artist with some great music. So this is our disclaimer. Let us go in by Reverend Paul Jones, who says that I won't complain. Uh-oh, I know that's not you complaining this morning, but God bless you. Let us go into the inner courts and worship God. Amen.
So we start complaining, Lord, why me? Why me? Why me? What you need to do, one day out of your busy schedule, take the time out. Visit a hospital, MD Anderson. Walk up and down those corridors, and I guarantee you, you'll come back saying, I won't complain. Give him some love as he comes. Thank you. some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some lonely nights. But when I look around, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Can I say it one more time? I've had some good days.
Thank you, Lord.
Had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some sleepless nights. But when I look around, yeah, I think things over. All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord. Lord, why so much pain? But he best for me. Oh, my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. So good to me. Have you been good? He's been good to me. More than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good. Tears away. Turn my midnight in today. For I just say, thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body racking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due, don't know where the money coming from, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't. Yeah. I won't complain.
Yes, I want to play that in its entirety. That I won't complain. Good God Almighty. Woo! you know, looking at this story, and I'm going to jump right in, that we see here that the nation of Israel, they was facing danger. A lot of times that people don't know that God is working in their behalf behind the scenes. Here the nation of Israel was in the land of here the Moabites. I keep saying Moabites. But with this king that he decided that he wanted to come against the nation of Israel. And the Moabites decided that they were going to fight the people of Israel so that they also could take their possession. You know, in comparison, the same thing happened with the children of Israel when they was in the land of Egypt with the Pharaoh there, that eventually they became their slaves, and it wasn't to their better good. And this is the same situation here, that this particular king had off against a nation of people, and that he went to a man who had the gift of knowledge, who was able to see things in the fourth future, who could decree and declare things. Sometimes that people will use their gift for bad. And this particular king wanted to curse the very people and the elect of God. But as the songwriter says, that I won't complain that the children of Israel didn't even know that they were being set up in a land or a country where they thought they could be prosperous. But the king wanted them cursed, God forbid. You hear so much news today, so much information is given out that how nations of people are rising up against each other due to greed, jealousy, or just hatefulness, that their hearts are wicked and we can't blame God. That God has decreed a thing that even with Israel that they are blessed. But there are those that want to even kick the rock and go against the very foundation that God said they are blessed, and to pull them down in their downfall. But you know, God, I'll say it again, but you know, God was in the background, and that he was trying to protect his people. Not that he was trying to, but he did protect his people from this king trying to destroy the very nation, the very elect, the ones that he has favor on, that he was trying to pull the rug from underneath of them. Do you know people like that? That because you are going forward, that you are minding your business, that you are trying to progress in what you're doing, even on your job and your home and your church, there are people that are wicked. There are people that hate you, dislike you, despise you, because you're minding your business and moving forward. And that people can see that the very hand of God is on that particular person. This is the nation of Israel. This king was jealous, that he was greedy, that he wanted everything, all the land. You know, you hear stories on the news that you see other nations are fighting different nations for their oil, their land. They're trying to take over their commerce. But it's sad when God has blessed the people and can bless you, but you want it all. There's greed. And this brings us to our story of Balaam, that, as I said before, this was a man that was gifted, that he had a relationship, that not only did he have a relationship with God, but he was able to foresee different things that was going to happen. He could bring the good news or the bad. But he used his gift wickedly and became a sorcerer and decided to abide by what that king wanted and use his gift to try to hurt and dismay and destroy God's people, God forbid. So many times that you will see those that God has elected to be a blessing to a body of nation, a community of people. You see the presidents, you may see different armies, you would even see different leaders who have a responsibility to do good. But then they would take the very power, the gift that has been bestowed upon them, and they will use it for greed and for wickedness. And this is what happened to Balaam, that he was already favored by God. He already had the prestige. He already had the fame, but he wanted more, because this Moabite king said, you know what, I'll give you more money. I give you land, I give you possession, that the sin became apparent in Balaam's heart, that he became wicked. Good God Almighty. You know, so many times that you see things that's out here in the news, you hear about different leaders or good men of God that will fall, that you say, what has happened? We can't condemn. We can't judge. Balaam was enticed by the greed of money and wealth that he turned his back on God. You know, so many times you know, it's sad, but I'm going to bring it up. If I step on your toes, say, ouch! You see pastors that's in the rightful seat of God that's being used, and then you hear about that, oh, my God, sexual immorality, that he has become an adulteress, or he has fornicated, or he has did things that's contrary to his title, his office, his commission. And we look at the man, but we don't look at the sin or the devil that's behind it, that he was enticed by the wickedness to pull him down. That's what happened to Balaam, that here he could use his gift for good, but the adversary ever since the beginning of Eden, that he tried to entice even Eve to go against God. Good God Almighty, I'm getting stirred up. That there are so many things that try to stand in your way. You ever hear people say that when I mean to do good, that I do bad, when I put one foot forward, that I step back. And this is a situation right here. I feel you pulling at me. I feel you pulling. You won't know where I'm going. But what it is that I want to tell you this, beloved. You got to watch out for the enticements that's coming in your life. When you are trying to be about a good work for God, the devil is right there. When you try to prophesy what is right, he'll try to get you to go in flesh and for you to say a lie. When you see that you're trying to live holy, he will send some in your way to entice you, to get you to fall down on your face. You know, it's very sad that when you even look at this particular story, that Balaam had a chance to repent of his sin and use his gift for good, but the greed, that enticement, that money, that false illusion that I could get all of this, that wealth, that fame, that position, if I do things my own way and turn against the grain, that even that it says here in this particular story that even the animal tried to prevent Balaam from going forward to go against God. And I want to say to you, know, God brought this to my mind this morning when I was reading over the story. How many times have little children been in parents' lives and that the baby will cry, want his milk or his diaper changed, or the baby will cry to get the parent attention and say, look, you're neglecting me. I'm your child. I'm your baby. You're not being a good mother or father. And that because of what we're into, our own thing of watching TV or being on a cell phone or want to get out and party, that we neglect the child. And when things happen, we blame God. Good God Almighty. That if the baby gets sick or something happened or the baby died, but where was our focus? Oh, I'm a tied in. I'm not getting off the subject. I want to tell you another time that how many times that you see little children look at you and stare at you. For those of you who may have a problem with alcohol and drugs, that the little baby look at you or the child say, you shouldn't do that. We get mad. Shut up. I'm the parent. You don't tell me what to do. We see them smoke. Don't tell me what to do. I'm grown. That God will use even a child to warn us that we're in danger. Or we can have an old parent, an old grandma, grandpa would say to us, baby, you're going down the wrong road. You know God don't want you to do that, baby. You better watch out. You could go to jail. You better leave it alone. The same thing happened with Balaam. He did not look at the warning, to look at what God had used to give him an opportunity to repent. God has given all of us an opportunity to repent. When we go to God and say, why? Then say to ourselves, then what did we do to make it better? When we say, you know, kids are kidnapped and things are happening, then we got to be more mindful and watch our children. Visit the schools more often. Get involved with the PTA. Be there when they're at those soccer games or catching a bus coming home. try to leave job and even maybe that's your lunch hour to go over there and check on your child, you know. And we see here sometimes people say that I'm sick. Why did God let this happen to me? God forbid. But then we have to look at our own diet, look at how we live, look at how we carry ourselves. It's not always our fault. God is merciful and kind. But some of these things that we cause on our own selves. You know, a lot of times people point their finger and say, look at the preacher. He's smoking and drinking. He over there whoremongering. He over there doing things that he shouldn't do. But look at the people that's coming to the church. They're not coming to support him. You got women coming to entice the very man of God. You got others coming in to criticize, waiting for him to fall. You got the trickster outside trying to proposition the pastor to give him a little extra on the side if he do X, Y, and Z. We are human beings, and we need to know that the devil is tricking. The devil is trying to undermine the very foundation in the beginning of the plan of God. Good God Almighty. Woo! I told you I get stirred up when I talk about the Lord. I love the Lord. But I want to say to you that in this particular story, it showed a man who was gifted that he turned. He turned from God because of greed, lust, opportunity, fame, and prestige. He had it all the time, God forbid. But let us sit back. I know I got carried away this morning. I don't usually go down that direction. But God was dealing with me that a lot of times we need to be a good steward of faith. That we need to know that even when we don't know it, that God is working on our behalf. Even with Balaam, he tried to prevent him from going down to the road that would get him to fall from the position of being a good prophet for God, that he became a sorcerer, and that he used the gift for evil, then for good. Good God Almighty. So we have to turn it all over to God, no matter what that situation is, that we have to turn it over to God. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. If you would like to write us, it's P.O. Box 9786. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, that's Fivefold Ministries, P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. If you would like to text us or send an email, or if you want prayer, I'm a person that believe in the power of prayer, that if God can't do it, it just can't be done. That number to call for prayer is 410-661-4103. Again, that's 410-661-4103. Let us sit back at this particular time. I know I went in a total different direction. I got stirred up. But, you know, when you look at good scriptures in the Bible that God has given us for examples to read, and it touches home, here is a person that could be used by God to do great things, but they took it upon themselves to make a decision that they could overcome temptation, that they did not have the means to fall and be enticed by evil. And Balaam did fall because of greed, which is lust, and also that he was made to even go in a whole different direction, that God had to turn his back on him as well. And then we could ask the questions, why? But he brought it on himself. A lot of times we bring things on ourselves. I want to be a good news preacher this morning or teacher, but this is a story of Numbers 22. You can read it for yourself. I'm going to stop right here and just play a little meditation hymn, "That Only Through God, Grace, and Mercy," by the Mississippi Mess Choir, "Can We Remain and Have the Strength to Do What God Wants Us to Do." Amen. Let us just take a break right now and reverence God as you get ready for your house of prayer. Amen. Yes, it's through God's grace and mercy that will bring us through. You know, Balaam had that same opportunity to do what was right before God, but because of temptation. And God is telling us that we need to be strong believers and Christians in the faith. We're going to always be tested and tried. People are going to offer us money, fame, wealth, position, prestige, lust. You know, it's good to have elevation. It's good to have promotions. It's good to even have money or even fame to the point that it is for good. But the adversary is tricky. He knows how to push you up in those things to pull you down. Remember when Jesus was up on a rock for 40 days that Satan visited him and said, I will give you all this if you worship me. He's always present to try to entice you and go against the things of God. It is very hard. You know, we need to pray for our leaders because they are tempted every day more so. And I don't know this to be true rather than a common man, but you got to look. This is one of the spearhead, a pastor, a leader, and he's trying to shepherd God's sheep. And then you have the Jezebel spirits. You have the gambling spirits, the drinking spirits. You got all these enticements that's coming in there to try to pull him in a different direction to pull down God's people. And we even look at this particular story here in Numbers 22, that here is a man that had a gift from birth, and he could have used it for the betterment of man. He could have used it to be a good prophet in the Lord, but what he did, he became a sorcerer. He used it for money. You know, he used it as for the crystal ball, as for a reading, to the point that he wanted to use his gift to curse the very elect of God. That was his first mistake, that when you forget your position, that your gift was given and is determined by God, and that you have to be mindful of who you are and whose you are, and don't take upon yourself that, well, I can handle this, you know. I can handle this. All these women coming here, you know, want counseling at night. I'm a married man. I can handle this. You know, I can handle this. I can go down to the bars and I could witness to people. I used to be an alcoholic, but I can handle this. A lot of times that the devil knows your weak spot. He knows what will tempt you. He knows what will entice you. And that when you think you ought to do good, that evil will follow you. That, you know, you be trying your best to give the word and give a thing of encouragement. At the same time, that all these other things that's come into play, like I know what their weakness is. I know how to pull them from the church. I know how to pull them from the preacher, from the pastor. I know how to entice them so their focus will go in a different direction. And then you get to the point that because you know you have fallen, you have failed, you have become a turncoat, you have turned your back, you are doing things that you're not supposed to do, you become wicked and you can't even see and you got blinders on, that your heart is hardened, that you want to curse the very elect of God. God forbid, you are not God. You don't have the power of heaven and health to wake a person up in the morning, put them to sleep at night. You are not God. But it's really sad that it says here that he teamed up with his enemy. It's sad when you know what is right and you do what is wrong. And that was his first mistake. You know, it's really sad when you study the scripture and when you look at this and you try to see all the things that has happened, it could happen to anybody. You know, all of this, that what caused a person to fall from grace? What caused them to slip back? What caused them to sin? And it says here, you know, and then when I was doing the research, it says that when your heart becomes hardened, that you get greedy, that you're not satisfied with what God is giving you, that you have a chance that, oh, you know, God is going to bless me, but then you just get greedy and that you get lustful of the flesh and that you want more, that you open yourself up, that you get enticed by those very things that you're teaching or preaching about or you're trying to avoid. The devil is tricky, folks. We got to see that God is in charge. that we are not in charge, that God has sent us on this journey, and I'm speaking to the leaders right now, that God has sent you on a particular task, and that it is only through Jesus' grace and mercy can you make this thing. Don't think that you are above the sin, that you won't get tempted. Look at Adam. Don't think that you in control and that you won't turn your face from God. Look at David. Don't think that you don't know the rules of God. That's not going to happen to me. Look at Solomon. Don't think that you are not going to go ahead and fall back into divers temptation. Look at ourselves, that there are many a times we do things that we're not pleased about and we repent. Nobody is perfect. Jesus knew that. That's why he died on the cross. I'm saying to you before we just get into the little sermonic hymn that we got to keep our eyes focused on the word of God and through repentance and to know that we got to just cover ourselves, just cover ourselves in the glory of God and to say, God, forgive me each and every day and help me to be the best person that I could be. Help me in my focus. Help me in my walk with you because I'm not without reproach. I'm not without temptation or sin that I cannot slip, that we all can fall short. I want to just play a tune this morning in my encouragement to you that don't beat up on yourself, that when you slip or make a mistake, say, ouch, and say, God, forgive me. Help me to turn from my wicked ways. When you see what God has given you for good, that you get pompous or you get arrogant in yourself and you realize that God has given you this gift not to show off or to glorify yourself, but to just rightly divide the word of truth and give it to God and to be humble in that approach and to teach his people what says the Lord of hosts. Don't be like a Balaam that you get caught up and that you're going to use your gift and your power for wicked or manipulation and control. You know, just be mindful that you are special to God and that you have to be strong in God and that God loves you. This story in Numbers 22 shows us how a person got tempted and he went in a whole different direction to the point that he went against God's people. It is very sad. You know, I was listening to Reverend Reed this morning, and I would encourage all of you to listen to his program, that he was talking about even the jealousy in the church. God forbid. I want to say to believers, Christians, don't be jealous of other Christians. You say that you're not, then don't puff your eyes up and your lips out when somebody sings a beautiful song. Don't get mad when they're elected to the board or they are the director, president of a club. When you see that this person is getting accolades from the church or they're getting cards or greetings, give them a hug. We're only human and we have flesh, so we got to check ourselves every now and then that here, even in the body of Christ, that pastors will see other pastors, the church are growing, the congregation is increasing, they get jealous. You know, some get jealous, I'll put it like that. But that's not important. Don't you know that that one or two souls that's in your body could go around the world and make a difference in the nation of God and get foreigners or different people to believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ within your congregation and your missionaries? That here somebody can have 10,000 people, and that sounds good in numbers, but then you might have a good 100, but then you're making an impact around this world and fighting against AIDS in another country. You know, keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And follow the assignment that God has for you. And don't get caught up in these things like Balaam did, that, you know, he wanted to use his gift and it became wicked. So many times opportunities are going to come to you. And God is saying to believers this morning that you can't condemn. You know, God said that he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the judge. Who are we to talk about the Baptist faith, apostolic faith, the Pentecostal faith, the Lutheran faith? God forbid. You know, it's different denominations, and when people die and go on to glory, I guarantee you in heaven that God is going to make a choice of what denomination of people that he choose to come into heaven. He have no respect of person. He loves us all. You know, you don't have a right to judge or put a finger on any denomination. Or even on this radio broadcast, today I felt y'all pulling at me real hard. I felt different ones listening. You wonder where I was going with this text. You're so busy critiquing what I'm saying. Do it line up with the word? Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm just trying to tell you the good news the way God give it to me. If I don't do it to the way you like it into your perfection, then you do it. You get on the radio program. You pay the tithes and offering that you need to pay and to build up what God has given you. Keep your eyes on your ministry, what you need to do for yourself, so that God can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Balaam's eyes went in the wrong direction to the point that he tried to curse the very elect of God. Who are you if God said that nation is blessed and they blessed? He chose to use the Jewish nation so that we can use that as a blueprint for living. We can use those examples, including the word of God, how we need to move forward and be successful. We too are blessed. Don't get to the point to say, oh, my church is the only one that preaches the true Bible study in a Bible class, or my pastor is the only one that really got the word. I've never read that in my Bible. God said that all nations shall praise him, including the rocks that cry out. He didn't say one denomination. He didn't say one pastor, one group of people. God forbid. Let us walk in love. Let us walk in peace. Let us walk in truth. Stop condemning. My God, I feel y'all still judging. But anyway, I'm going to play this, the Jesus in my rock. I'm going to try to play Reverend Gerald Thompson as I just say what God gave me to say to you, to be encouraged, to keep your eyes on the prize, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, and to stay focused. And never believe that you can't get enticed, even with the smallest thing. I used to hear preachers say, you know, that was the devil. I say, I'm on a diet. I got to watch my cholesterol. I got sugar diabetes. And, you know, they just would give me that pie. They know that I got sugar diabetes, and I ate that thing, and my sugar went up. That's enticement. Not in a harmful way, but sometimes you got to know what is not good for you and avoid that very thing. Amen. We're going to wrap our word up after this right now. As I said before, I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. But look at Numbers 22 for yourself. Come to your own conclusion. Amen? Amen.
Oh,
that, Numbers 22, I want us to turn to Psalms 105 this morning. As we look at Psalms 105 this morning, we thank Reverend Reed for sharing that message with us, that truly he's a good teacher. I would encourage everybody to turn in and listen to his broadcast. Oh, my God, the man is just so blessed in wisdom. But I want to read this myself because let me say something to you. When you are a Christian and you have accepted the death and burial or resurrection, that you have the favor of God because you are in the covenant with Abraham. I'll say it again. When you have accepted Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, that you are in a covenant with God because now you are the children of faith with the seed of Abraham. That even though you wasn't a Jew, now you are adopted in the child of faith, that what they say your uncircumcision is now circumcised by the death and burial resurrection. So you are a blessed generation. You are beloved of God, and that he will bless you. It says in Psalms 105, let us look at verse 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgment are in all the earth. I'll say it again. It says that he is the Lord our God. His judgment are in all the earth. That means heaven above and heaven below. Nobody can curse what God has blessed. You are a blessed generation. You can be enticed, but you got to fight with everything inside of you, including the faith and the blood of Jesus Christ, and ask God to give you the strength through the Holy Spirit that you won't become a Baal and that you will use your gift for wrong. It says here that God remembers his covenant forever in verse 8, the word that God commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that God has made with Abraham, the oath that he swore to Isaac, that God confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, not only to the nation of Israel, but an everlasting covenant with us, that we are God's people. When we have accepted the death, burial, and resurrection, that we have the portion of that inheritance. And listen to this. It says, verse 12, when they were but few in numbers, talking about the nation of Israel, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom. And look what it says in verse 14. God allowed no one, I'll say it again, God allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Remember now, it says all through this Bible, even with Balaam, the king came to him so that he would rise up against the very elect of God. But it says in 15, do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophet no harm. I want to say to you this morning that you are, I say it again, that you are God's beloved. Yes, you are. He put me on this radio program to exalt, edify, and encourage you and to make plain those things that he want known. He haven't forgotten you. He loves you. He can answer all your questions. You go into your secret place and talk to God for yourself. Don't worry about me and what I say on this radio. Worry about your relationship in God. Amen. And pray for me, you know. Keep me prayed up because this road right here, don't think that I don't get attacked in my body, my family get attacked, my job get attacked. I won't murmur and complain, but what I'm saying is everything that looks shiny and good, don't think that it's that way because we have to suffer this thing. When we carry our cross for God, you're going to suffer sometime, but know that it says, do not touch my anointed one, do my prophets no harm. We all should be prophesying one to another to exalt, edify, and encourage. That's who you are, beloved. You are the redemption of God. You have a place in the kingdom with everlasting life. I want to say this time, as I always say, if you don't know Christ and the pardon of your sin, I would say I don't know why China is. I keep pulling up China. Now I want us to keep China in prayer. But if you don't know God and the pardon of your sin, ask God to come into your life, into your heart, and to save you and to give you the strength and the power not to be enticed by those things that are going to pull you down and your conviction and your faith in God. Hey, hallelujah. And let us say this prayer together. Even if you are saving and you know you want a closer walk, I pray even for myself and say, God, forgive us. We all have come short to the glory of God. We're sorry, Lord. Will you have mercy on our soul? Bless our nations and our leaders. Help them not to be enticed through greed and lust and through the adversary. God, will you bless us and have mercy on this nation, this country, of course, us, United States, and all the nations around the world. God, protect us in this time of the evil one. God, save our souls. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us to be overcomers in this generation, that we are your very elect and seed of Abraham. You promise us, God, that you will be our God until the very end. God, as you listen, as you are with us today with the listeners all over the world, I want you to give them a special touch, God, to let them know that you're near, to give them a fresh anointing, a fresh word. And all those Bible scholars and teachers, tell them to pray for me so I can rightly divide the word or two. I, too, get nervous, God, as I speak before your people because I'm not perfect in my speech or even in my understanding of the word, but I give it the best that I can with no excuses, that I go into the inner courts because I love you, God. Oh, God, just bless us today as we reverence you today, as we go out to praise today because, God, you are our Lord. You are our shepherd. And we shall not want, that everything we need, everything that we could hope to achieve will always be in you. Amen. God bless you today. Again, I would encourage you to listen to the broadcast. As I said, we have Jeremiah Speaks that come on from 8:30 to 9. Oh, my God, he's a great teacher. He brought the subject matter today. And also listen to him on Monday through Fridays at 7 o'clock. If you really want a good Bible school teacher, for those scholars and critiques, now that man can really go into the Word of God and back it up with scriptures. See, my God, I have to say this, but he already knew that I got critics on the phone, so he put Reverend Jernard Reed on this phone so that I have some power and strength behind this Word. See, God was already there in the midst of the storm. He knew that I would have some critics, so he got me the best people ever, which is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. God bless you all. Have a nice day. And remember, do not get enticed with the good that you're trying to do from the adversary. Walk worthy of your profession, and don't try to curse what God has blessed. You don't have the power. Amen? Amen.
in the shadows.